We're going to call to order the special meeting of the Board of Trustees for Desert Edge Public Infrastructure District Number 1 this Wednesday, April 15th, 2026 at 2 p.m. The meeting is being held at the offices of Neil Powell in South Jordan, Utah. Let's do a quick roll call for our minutes today. My name is Tom Jolly, and I am District Counsel.
Shanna Bedard, District Counsel Paralegal.
Hannah Garrick-Abadia, District Counsel Paralegal.
Julian Bernard, Board Member.
Michael House, Board Member.
Nick Smith, Board Member.
Brendan Campbell, District Accountant.
And Derek Campbell, District Accountant.
Thanks, everybody. We're just going to follow our agenda today. That everybody received. The first, we'll go to our first preliminary action item, which is we're going to elect a district chair today. Although not specifically required by the governing document, we recommend the district does elect officers. We have Michael House, who is currently serving as, I believe, the district vice chair. Or no, district. Either the district vice chair, secretary, and Julian, as well as is I believe the district vice chair, secretary, one of the two, and so we do have a vacancy, and we need to elect a district chair. So I'm going to turn it over to the board to see who they would like to elect as district chair.
I'm okay with taking the position if we need to.
Okay, well, I mean, we can elect. We'll do two elections then. If you want to nominate Michael House as district chair, and I think Nick will need to be either the vice chair, then we can do that, or we can elect Nick as the district chair. So it's up to the board what they want to do.
Nick, Julian, you guys got any constraints?
No, I think you should be chair and Nick should be vice chair. Makes sense to me.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Okay, great. So let's have a motion to elect. Well, first of all, let me just tell you, as district chair, this is kind of the chief executive and administrative officer of the district. And, you know, duties include overseeing the board meetings and the general administration of the district. Our office as district council will generally run the board meetings under the direction of the district chair, you know, for convenience. So do we have a motion nominating Michael House as district chair for Desert Edge Public Infrastructure, number one?
I'll motion.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor say aye. Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Thank aye. You. Motion passes by unanimous consent, and Michael House is elected as district chair to serve in accordance with the bylaws. Let's also we can entertain a motion to elect Nick Smith as district vice chair.
I motion to have Nick Smith as the vice chair.
Second.
All second.
All in favor say aye. Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Nick Smith is now elected as district vice chair to serve in accordance with the bylaws. And Julian, you will remain as district secretary. So the next action item on our preliminary action item is oaths of office. In Utah, as you guys recall, state officers are required both by the federal and state constitutions to take an oath of office. In Utah, the Constitution of Utah specifies the wording that this oath is to take. And I'm going to turn the time over to Shanna, and she will administer the oath of office for both Michael and Nick Smith.
Who wants to go first? Michael?
Perfect.
All right. So I'm going to end up sending you guys the original or a version, and you'll need to sign it and have it notarized. So if you'll just repeat after me, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support.
I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Obey and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the you say that again?
The duties of my office with fidelity.
And the duties of my office with fidelity.
Okay.
Yeah, can we put that up on the
screen? Sure.
You know, so they can just read it. That would be easier. We'll share our screen here so you can look at that. But anyway, thanks, Michael. That is sufficient. Now we'll do Nick here. Hold on 1 second, please, as we.
This one? Nope. Oh, no. Oh, the one under it. Sorry. No, it's okay.
Nick's got a memory like an elephant. He's good. I'm sure he's better than I am.
Okay. Can they see my screen? No.
All the pressure.
Yeah, Nick, there's a lot of pressure going on there right now.
The Zoom meeting. Okay. And then at the bottom, share.
Yeah.
And then that one. Okay.
Can you see the screen now, Nick?
I can.
Okay. Shannon, go ahead.
I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend.
Well, you can just read it.
Right, exactly.
So, Nick, will you please just read the oath?
Oh, yep, absolutely. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Utah, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Perfect. Thank you. So Shanna is going to be, or Hannah will be sending you, you also have to do ethics disclosures, and we'll send you the form in the state. Each year, board members have to disclose any conflicts that they have with the district. Like, for example, one conflict could be the fact that if you own, if you're not only a board member, but if you're a member of the development team that has equity in the company, that could be that is a conflict, but that doesn't disqualify you from being a board member. It just means you have to disclose the conflict. That's all Utah requires, is just a disclosure. So we'll send you those forms. Michael, you've already filled one out as vice chair, I think. But we'll send you a new one for your new role as district chair. And Nick, we'll send you a form as well. And we can, Shanna can help you fill that out if you have questions. Okay?
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Let's move now to our, I don't think we have a, let's see, we do have, those are our preliminary action items. We are going to have a public comment portion of our meeting. This is required under state statute, but we need a motion to open the meeting for public comment.
I motion to push the meeting to open public comments.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes?
Aye.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. The public comment portion of the meeting is now open. we can confirm that there are no members of the general public participating in the meeting here at the offices of URCAL. We do not see any members of the public participating via the Zoom link. So we can now entertain a motion to close the public portion of the board meeting.
I motion to close the public portion of the board meeting.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes. Thank
Aye.
you. Motion passes unanimously. The public comment portion of the meeting is now closed. Let's move to our consent items. First is to approve the draft minutes of the board meeting held on January 14th, 2026. The board did receive in its packet the proposed draft minutes from the last board meeting. Are there any questions about those minutes?
I have none.
Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion to adopt the minutes of the January 14th, 2026 board meeting?
I motion to adopt the minutes from the January board meeting.
Second?
I second.
All in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion does pass unanimously. Let's move to our second consent item. Actually, I think we can remove this from the meeting agenda. There have been no payment applications. The bond funds have been fully disbursed. So we'll go ahead and remove that from our consent item. Let's move to our action items.
Tom,
What, is
just
that
on the
correct?
no, I think you're confusing different districts. This one hasn't yet used its bond funds, and we did have some administrative requisitions this
Oh,
quarter,
okay.
and
Well,
they're in
let's
the and they are in the board packet. So.
all right. Well, let's the infrastructure and acquisition reimbursement agreement does require that the board ratify and approve any requisitions made, requests made since the last board meeting. And as Brandon pointed out, those are in the board packet. Brandon, do you want to go over those? And then we can entertain a motion to approve those.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the board packet, we do have all of the district expenditures for the first quarter. What you'll see on the screen is a summary of those expenditures. For Q1 of 2026, all of the expenditures were administrative in nature. So all the requisitions that we prepared were from the admin fund. We did not have, to Tom's point, we didn't have any capital requisitions in Q1 of 2026. But there's the requirements under the infrastructure acquisition agreement, but also just from a Utah statutory requirement, we do need to go through and display every expense that a district incurs. So each quarter we'll provide these reports so you can see all the money that you've approved and that we've spent. But nonetheless, here's a summary of those. Do you have any questions about the payments that were made in Q1?
I do not.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Brennan. Do we have a motion to approve and ratify all payment applications and requisitions made since the last board meeting in Q1?
I motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
I don't think we heard. I heard Michael. So we need Nick and Julian to vote.
I heard Julian on my, or I heard Nick
Aye.
on my side. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear Julian. Julian, you're
Sorry,
on
I was
mute,
muted.
but.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Let's now move to our action items. The first action item is to consider accepting Q4 financial statements for 2025. The board did receive in its packet the Q4 financial statements for the district. I'm going to turn the time over to Brendan to go over those financials and answer any questions from the board.
Thanks, Tom. I will go through the financial statements briefly. We do have Q4 of 2025 as well as Q1 of 2026 in your board for presentation today. I'll just go over Q4 right now. But please stop me at any point if you have any questions. I'm happy to dive into those.
And just for the minutes, the Q4 financials are displayed on the screen for the board members. as well as in your packet.
Yep.
Thank you. So on the screen, we do have the year-end financial statements. What you can see is the presentation of the budget on the left-hand column, actual activity in the middle column, and then the variance between the budget and the actual on the right-hand column. Where we're starting here is in the Capital Projects Fund. This is where the bond fund activity occurs and then gets spent from there. What we can see in the actual column in the middle, if you look under the other sources and uses section, the bond proceeds of $6,751,000, and that was the amount of the actual bond issuance that occurred in 2025. Of those monies, cost of issuance, the cost to issue the bonds was $440,000, and then $681,000 was transferred out of the Capital Projects Fund for the debt service reserve requirements, as well as operational funds for the admin fund. What we can see under the expenditure section, the capital outlay just above that, there have been no draws yet on the capital project fund. So we haven't reimbursed or paid for any of that public infrastructure yet. So those project funds are sitting in interest-bearing account. So if you go above the expenditures to the revenues, you can see that $142,000 of interest income was earned in 2025. And that bottom, if you drop then down to the ending fund balance, here you'll see that the district has $5,772,000 available for project infrastructure reimbursement costs.
So let me stop there for a minute. Michael, does that sound right to you? I mean, I'm wondering why the project hasn't filed a reimbursement request.
So what we decided to do on our end, Tom, is finish all the work that's reimbursable. And we will be done with that here in about 2 months. And then we're just going to do one claim for everything that shows all the draws in one.
Okay, that's fine. Brennan, is that but the district is paying interest on this amount, right?
We're earning interest on this amount.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay,
I
got it.
mean, certainly we're paying interest on the bonds that were issued, but we are earning interest on those monies that are in the account.
And that was our thought kind of going into it, Tom, is if we wait till the work that gets done, now we're going to get an extra 100 to 200,000 in interest.
Okay, well that's fine. I guess what I meant to say is the district, the bonds are accruing interest as well, so there'd be that offset. So Brennan, you just need to make sure you guys track all that, which you will. I'll be quiet now. I'm not an accountant.
No,
Thanks,
you're
Tom.
good. But Tom, it is a great question. We have those monies here for a purpose and just want to make sure that everybody's being intentional and they're not missing opportunities because they don't understand or don't know. And so, Michael, sounds like you all have a plan and and you understand, and that's great.
Yeah, we kind of ran through this with you, Brendan, back in the past. And we kind of just think with as fast as the majority of the work got done, it's just better for us to hold off and just do one draw at the end.
That's great plan. And it'll reduce your engineering costs. So, all right. So then moving to your debt service fund, here we have the monies that are available for debt service. Now, you saw in the Capital Projects Fund there was a transfer out of the fund. Some of that money was transferred here to the debt service fund. It's $561,000. The way these bonds are set up, there was no interest payment in 2025, so you'll see that there's no interest expenditures and that was expected and planned in the bond issuance. And then we do have some interest earnings on the funds that are sitting in reserve with the debt service fund of about $14,211. Now, the monies that are set aside here are a requirement of the bonds, and so they will be used to repay the bonds in the future, but they're for the time being required to just be held in reserve as collateral to the bondholders. And then moving to the general fund. So the general fund, If you look under the other sources and uses section, there was $120,000 that was transferred in at closing from the bonds, and that was anticipated to cover the administrative costs of the district for the first few years. In 2025, total expenditures were $10,966 for administration costs. So it came well in under budget of $50,000. So had a lot of budget savings this year, or last year in 2025. And then with those monies in reserve to cover future costs, there also is interest income on that. And you can see that there was $3,038 of interest income that was earned in 2025. So that's a snapshot of how we ended last year of 2025. Any additional questions?
I don't have any now.
All right, well then let's do, do we have a motion before moving on to the Q1 financials? Do we have a motion accepting the Q4 2025 financial statements for the district?
I motion to accept the Q4 financials for the district.
Second.
All in favor say yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Let's now move to our second action item, which is to consider accepting the Q1 financial statements for calendar year 2026. Brian, you're the star of the show, so we'll let you continue.
All right. Thank you. As Tom mentioned, we do have the first quarter financial statements on your screen. And this just shows the activity of what we've done over the last 3 months. You'll know that there hasn't been too much. But we'll dig into that. So if you look at the Capital Projects Fund, again, this is the fund where all of the activity to pay on public infrastructure. Per our previous conversation, if you look at the capital outlay or the expenditures, you can see that there have been no expenses to date, which is anticipated. The district did have those funds on hand earning interest, and you can see in first quarter there was an additional $51,990 of interest income that the district received and is available for those infrastructure reimbursements. So then moving up to the debt service fund. Similar story, we have those reserves on hand that were transferred last year at bond closing. There is some interest earnings that we see up in the revenue section of $5,184. There is budgeted property taxes for 2026, but you'll see that we have not, the property tax cycle is that we would receive those monies the latter part of the year. So we are where things should be for 2026, none collected to date. And then on the bond interest fund, the way that these bonds were structured, there is not an interest payment in 2026. So even though the bonds are outstanding and we're accruing interest, the way they were structured from a repayment standpoint is that there are no interest payments in 2026. And so there was nothing budgeted and there's been nothing spent to date, just highlighting that. That there was nothing budgeted and nothing spent. All right, and then lastly, here we have our general fund with our administrative costs. The funds, as I mentioned previously, are a carryover from last year that were set aside at closing. We do have first quarter $1,089 of interest income. And those are the funds that are available then to pay the costs. And to date, you can see that the district has spent $17,307 total in administrative costs. Just as a reminder, and from a legal standpoint, there was a lot of meetings and a lot of work that was accomplished at the beginning of the year with the dissolution and those items. So legal is trending higher than maybe a normal curve. And so we might revise that expectation of legal costs for 2026 all in, but generally tracking under budget for the year and hope and expect to come in under budget. And if not, later this year, we can have a conversation with you all about amending the budget if there's a need to go over that $50,000 budget.
Yeah, we'll talk in the administrative non-action item where we stand on the dissolution. That's been kind of the issue that for the legal expenses this year is trying to get districts two and three dissolved. And there's quite a process of that in the state of Utah. And so, assuming that this, hopefully is wrapped up now, legal fees should be at a minimum for the rest of the year.
Any questions from the board?
I have none.
All right.
Thank you, Brent. Appreciate the presentation. Very helpful. Do we have a motion accepting the Q1 2026 financial statements for the district?
I motion to accept the Q1 2026 financial statements.
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Let's move to our third action item, which is to approve and ratify the district engagement of Klinger Hagerman to perform state audit requirements for 2025. As you know, the district did engage Klinger Hagerman to perform a state-required audit for the district for 2025. An engagement letter was signed on January 26th, and that was in your board packet. So, unless there are questions, we do need a motion approving and ratifying the district's engagement of Klinger Hagerman to perform auditing services for 2025 for the district.
I motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Let's move to our administrative non-action items. Just a reminder, each of the board members, you guys have to do your Open and Public Meetings Act training and get the certificate for that. That's on an annual basis. And so we've provided you with the web address and link where you can go get that done with this Utah State Auditor. Once you're done with that training, it usually takes about 20 minutes, and then there's a certificate that's issued that you'll need to forward on to Shanna. So if you have any questions, you can call Shanna and she can help you through it. But that does need to be done before the end of the year. We don't like to chase people down right at the end of the year, so get that done as soon as you can. Although it's not listed on our agenda, I just want to give you an update on the dissolution. The Utah statute requires that the creating entity also authorize the dissolution through a resolution. The city, Grantsville City, did we put that on the agenda, and that was approved in March. At the resolution, and now we're trying to follow up with the city recorder to make sure that she's filed the dissolution package with the Lieutenant Governor's office so the Lieutenant Governor can issue a certificate of dissolution. And we anticipate getting that here shortly. But that's where we are with the dissolution of districts numbers 2 and 3. Do you have any questions about that?
I do not know.
Okay. Well, are there any other matters the district board members would like to bring up today? Non-administrative action items.
I do not have any, Tom.
Thanks, Michael. All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously, and we stand adjourned. Go ahead and stop the recording. Nick, welcome to the